Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. Our number 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And after the past couple of weeks, I'm stocking up. And
always drink responsibly.
I'm not going anywhere. And last but not least, ever, the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have all of you on board today. Ah, yes. And 1-800-795-9565. We haven't talked any baseball today, but I'll update the Penn State football situation one more time for everybody so that they know. And the Penn State football situation is as follows. There are 8 players, 7 scholarship players, that have left so far. All right? And the players look like this. The ones that are going. Okay? Silas Red's going to USC. Ryan Nowicki to Illinois. Tim Buckley is going to NC State. Anthony Farrah to Texas. Kyrie Fort to Cal. Kevin Hapley to Florida State. Rob Bolden to LSU. And Jameel Pollard to Rutgers. Still waiting on Akeel Lynch, who evidently has made his decision. He's picking between Penn State and Iowa. And evidently he was going to make his decision on Sunday. He was going to announce his decision Sunday. Evidently, he's going to announce that tonight. Maybe. It'll probably be on Twitter. But social media is the way people do things now. So that's what we wait for. And then the other is wide receiver Justin Brown, who's choosing between Oklahoma and Penn State. So that's where that stands right now. And Justin Brown met with Bill O'Brien yesterday. Everybody thought he'd come out and say something last night, and he still didn't know what to do. So, meanwhile, Mike Hull, who did talk briefly with Pitt and was courted by several other schools, has made his mind up. He is staying at Penn State. So that's what's going to happen there. Meanwhile, the Paterno family is filing an appeal with the NCAA.
Is that regarding the wins that have been removed?
Yes, absolutely.
That's a good appeal.
So that's what they're going to do. And outside of the Paterno family, that might not be, there actually might be something else that filed. But so Wick Soller is considered to be an outstanding attorney, and but they have put it out there. So I want to make sure everybody knows that they did that. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. And again, Mike Hall's staying. We're waiting on Justin Brown. Everyone thought he had announced last night. Met with Bill O'Brien. Did not. Akeel Lynch evidently has made up his mind 48 hours earlier than he thought. And he is going evidently through social media, I'm sure, let everybody know what his decision is. It'd be a big plus if he stayed, the depth of tailback. Plus, down the road, the guy can be a really good player here, without a doubt.
Who needs a news conference now? Just use Twitter.
Well, that is what that's how everybody's going. Like, and Kevin, you know, I understand that. That's a way to get it out to the masses. People are checking Twitter accounts all the time, and you know, I think that I completely understand that it's an easy way for them to do it. There's no need to call a press conference or anything like that. If everyone has a handle on what the Twitter account happens to be, it works. You know, I mean, because even though I don't post on Twitter, doesn't mean I don't find it an extremely useful way to get the word out. I mean, part of my issue, Kevin, with this is time. Time is a big issue for me. You know, I get to a stadium, the whole thing. I know you'd like me to tweet, for example, you know, team warming up or Bill Belton in dress clothes.
Rain continues to fall. Should make things interesting.
Right. Things like that. To me, that's stuff you say for the broadcast. That's why you have a pregame show. You know, and as a radio station, I think you'd like to have people tuning in where they don't need Twitter to do this.
The one drawback, though, is, and I hear a lot of sports programs doing this, is they're using Twitter quotes as a way to interview a player or athlete. And they've been doing a lot of this during the Olympics because this is the first Olympics of the Twitter era. So instead of interviewing the athlete, it's quoting tweets. There's been a lot of that going on.
Right. No, I understand that. I understand that.
I don't like that, really. I mean, it's okay once in a while, but...
But they all have press conferences after all these things. They all do. And so they're press conferences. I mean, we had Jeff Lowe on yesterday from London. So, Joe on stevejones@wkok.com. Looks like the losses are going to be worse than anyone thought. Hearing Brown, Lynch, Lewis. Now, Lewis is staying. Lynch has made up his mind. We just don't know yet. And Justin Brown met with Bill O'Brien yesterday and decided not to announce. So that gets you up to, and Lewis is staying. Brian posting on the Steve Jones show wall. View post. Can't wait. Let's see here. What did Brian post? Kevin Herr is, oh, wow. No, it says all he Brian posted was, I hope Brown and Lynch stay. And I think a lot of fans are hoping for that. So that's where we are. But I want to make sure everybody is as up to date on what is going on with the players coming and going. Things that we never thought we'd have to do on the show. Never thought we'd have to do anything like this. No show in the country's ever had to do this. I mean, never. Where you're sitting there and you're talking about which players are coming and going in the first week of August. Never thought that was going to happen. Roger Federer, Andy Murray both won today at the Olympic venue at Wimbledon. A big day in the pool. Michael Phelps won the gold again today in the 100 to fly for the third consecutive Olympiad. Athens, Beijing, now London. And he closes out his individual career with a flourish. He only has one more relay to go. Missy Franklin, gold today in the backstroke and set a record in doing so.
The female Phelps.
And Katie Ledecky was able to win as well in the pool today. But Missy Franklin's done well in all of this. She set a world record in the 200 backstroke. As she got the job done, her third gold and fourth medal of the London Games so far. 2 minutes, 4.06 seconds. Beat Kirsty Coventry of Zimbabwe. And got the job done. Elizabeth Beisel, by the way, took the bronze. And Beisel's had a very good Games herself.
Yeah, you're talking about Ledecky. That's a 15-year-old. That's the youngest member of the team. Can you imagine 15 years old and you're winning a medal? Yeah. That's unbelievable.
And I must turn 16, by the way, before the end of the year. That's the caveat. They have an age. But she won the 800-meter freestyle today, the Janet Evans event. Won the 800-meter freestyle, youngest member of the U.S. team, narrowly missed a world record, falling off the pace in the last lap, finishing at 8 minutes, 14.63 seconds. Garcia of Spain, who's had a very good Olympiad, by the way, took the silver. And Rebecca Adlington of Great Britain took the bronze. Adlington was the gold medalist at the Beijing Games, set a world record then. But Katie Ledecky winning today in the 800 free. So mining more gold in the pool today is the United States. Meanwhile, the U.S. basketball team won yesterday by 83 points. I mean, let's make it interesting. Let's see if they can win by 100.
Well, they also broke a record for the most points in an Olympic game.
It's a 40-minute game, by the way. It's 10 4-minute quarters. They scored 156 points. I mean, it was even better than the NBA All-Star game. I mean, I've heard some people say, well, maybe we ought to change the composition of the team. Maybe send like five NBA guys, some college guys, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I'm sorry. That's not how it works. Okay? It's not how it works. It's the Olympics. Okay? You send the best people in the country. If you happen to roll them over and go through them like Sherman went through Atlanta, sorry, get better. I don't see anybody tying one arm behind their back in biathlon.
What about the Chinese domination in the diving? There's a great example. They've been untouchable.
I mean, just because you're really good at something, for one thing, softball was dropped because the United States is too good at it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Right? I mean, that's why. I mean, they won't say it, but I mean, again, you can't go through life thinking everybody's stupid. And that's why they dropped it. Pure and simple. They dropped it for one reason. And that's because the United States is too good at it. Okay? And when it comes to the basketball team, I have a hint for you. Get better. And the United States doesn't always dominate. 2004 in Athens, they went with that younger group. This is when Melo was young, LeBron was young. They were trying to show off the young guns in the league. I mean, because, the NBA has its agenda as to what they want to do. And they took the bronze. So it hasn't been a perfect sweep for the NBA, but this group of individuals, they've been outstanding so far. Carmelita Jeter, by the way, outstanding on the track today. Her 100-meter heat, she did so in 11 seconds or better Friday night, 10.83. 10.83 in the heats for Carmelita Jeter. Allyson Felix and Tiana Madison both in. Defending Olympic gold medalist Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce won her heat in 11 flat. Her Jamaican teammates, Veronica Campbell-Brown and Karen Stewart, also advanced. Only one dash at Beijing was under 11. That was Stewart's 10.98. But today, Carmelita Jeter turned in at 10.83 of the track. So the track is starting to kick into gear.
Watching shot put right now, as a matter of fact. I just wonder who has to go out and fix all those divots.
It's where your kid comes into play. This is getting your kid employed. I like that. But I know that I was listening to our good friend Colin, what's his name, from the Four Letter Network.
Yeah.
He was talking about how, live tape, the whole thing. He doesn't get it. I mean, at all. Nobody is disputing that the taped segments are great in the evening or drawing great ratings. It's just during the day, it's okay to show it live for the people who have access to it.
Exactly.
You're still going to get great ratings at night. I can't watch it today. I've been working all afternoon. Okay, I went into work this morning at 8 o'clock. had to do some running around, had a meeting today, you know, had to take care of something else from 1 to 3. I'm here now. I've got a ball game tonight. I haven't been able to watch the Olympics. So tonight when Phelps swims, I'll probably be home in time to watch Phelps swim. I was home last night. I knew the result last night that Gabby Douglas won. I still watched it.
I want to know how.
No, because it's still intriguing. No, the results is no big deal. You should, though, because it is 2012, show the event live. Now, where it's going to have an impact on your ratings are Saturday and Sunday. Because people can watch it Saturday and Sunday.
Well, but if you look at it, the ratings in the midday are going to be are normally higher for NBC Sports than it is in prime time. So, you know, it would be interesting to see if they do run some of those live
in the afternoon.
Not
for the Olympics.
I don't know. I can't imagine their primetime numbers on the weekend will be that good.
Primetime numbers, especially on Sunday night, are really good.
Really? Well, Sunday night. All right, I'm thinking Saturday night though.
Yeah.
But that's really true. I've looked
up. Even Saturday night, they'll be better in the afternoon. People are doing things in the afternoon.
I'll have to look that up. That's a good question.
I'll give you an example. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm playing in the Penn State football Letterman's golf tournament, and then I'm emceeing the dinner for them afterward, and then I'm following that up by doing a ball game. And it's Paint the Park Pink Night here to benefit the Breast Cancer Center at Mount Nittany Medical. That's what I have tomorrow. So I'm not going to be able to watch, you know. I mean, if Michael Phelps were out there dueling Lochte tomorrow afternoon, or Usain Bolt's out there running tomorrow afternoon, I won't see it until I see the replay at night. And people have other things that they do during the day. People will be working in gardens, working in the yard, or maybe they're out playing golf themselves, or there's something going on with a Little League tournament, or, you know, something. You know, family decided to go out for dinner in the afternoon. I mean, it's a variety of things that people do that keeps them from watching a particular event. But I think the option should be there to always see it live, and I think it will not in any way affect their ratings. I don't think it will affect the ratings at all. People, again, we're busy. We're working. You know, look at the number of people that listen to this show, for example, but can't call because they're at work. Or when they're they're driving home and they listen to it. Well, they haven't been able to watch the Olympics either. Okay? So.
I had a question from Barry in Seals Grove. Couldn't hang on the line, and I think one of our other callers has the same type of question. But Barry's question was, what happens to these guys who have scholarships for USC in the Silas Red incident? Do they get to keep their scholarships? Are they pulling scholarships from other guys? And
one.
I think Gig from Cole Township has the same style question here.
Gig from Cole Township. Hi, Gig. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm following this pretty close. And all schools have their scholarships handed out and everything already. It's football season.
Right.
Now, day-by-day basis, these players are transferring. And how do they come up with a scholarship that quick? Do they pull a guy in and say, your scholarship's done, we're going to give it to Silas Red?
There's two different cases.
Go ahead, Steve.
I lost you there for a second.
Yeah.
There's two different cases, okay? USC's case is completely different than the case of anybody else, whether it's Florida State, Texas, or whatever. And I'll explain how it goes. Texas this year, by adding Anthony Farrah, will be allowed to play this year with 86 scholarship players. Florida State with Hapley will be able to play with 86. Nowicki with Illinois, 86. USC, because of their probation and their bounce back from probation, was capped at 75 this year. So what's going to happen is that USC has to look at somebody and say to them, give your scholarship back. And it's probably going to be a guy that was a walk-on that had earned one and is going to have to give one back because they were at 75. So USC is a different case than everybody else.
Yeah.
Other teams will be allowed to play with 86, which is, the last I checked, an unfair competitive advantage. I hate to point these things out to them, but that's the way it goes. And USC has to be at 75 and one person has to give one up.
Yeah. I'd like to just make a comment that around the area where these colleges are, that's sort of like a cutthroat way to get rid of somebody. You want the person, all of a sudden you can reach out and grab somebody, and that's beyond scruples of college, I would think.
Yeah, the president of the NCAA came out and started lecturing everyone on the culture of college football. Okay, it's important that we keep college football in its proper perspective on a college campus. Okay, we all understand that. That's been understood here for forever. That's why you have an 87% graduation rate in football, Gig. And the other part is that he then allows this to happen, which is completely counter to that, where players won't come out of the Lash building for a period of time. This was last week, not this week. But wouldn't come out because they're being tracked down at their apartments, tracked down at the classes, being tracked down outside the football building. Are you kidding me? Is that the culture he wants to create?
Yeah, it stinks.
It's just complete. It doesn't match up with the statement he made.
Yeah. All right, you answered my question. I just thought I would maybe get something straightened out, and it stinks, that's all.
Yeah. And Akeel Lynch, by the way, the tailback. Akeel Lynch has decided, I believe, that he's going to stay.
Akeel Lynch. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much. And our number is 1-800-795-9565. Brought to you by Brewers Outlets, Reagan Street, Sunbury Beverage Supermarket. We'll come back with the news bottom of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible, from start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands, like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory, and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. And the way we understand it right now is that Mike Hall, the linebacker, Curtis Dukes, the tailback, and Akeel Lynch, the freshman tailback, have all recommitted to Penn State. So the only one we're waiting on now is Justin Brown. And we've taken the mobile studio to Justin's back porch. Hello, Justin. No, just kidding.
We could do that, though. We could do that. We won't, but we could.
I know. The mobile studio's been used a lot the last few weeks. So we have used the mobile studio a lot as time has gone along. And I like it. It's a nice little unit.
Steve, you've been talking a lot about the guys that are already, you know, under scholarship or with Penn State now on the team. What about the guys that have verbal commitments? What's been the response of those guys from what you've heard?
Six of them went to see Bill O'Brien last week and all reaffirmed their commitment to Penn State. There, to my knowledge, there are two verbal commitments that left. One decided to verbal to North Carolina, and that player happens to be from North Carolina, and one verbal to Michigan. So, and I can't get into names, obviously. It's an NCAA violation. And when I point out NCAA violations to all of you, I have to be far more careful than ever on this. Because, as you know, Senator George Mitchell is now here, put here by the NCAA, and Penn State is not going to be allowed to cross any lines, and that means I can't cross lines at all. I haven't crossed the line anyway. But that is something that you, when I talk to you about it, and I say I can't talk about it, I really can't talk about it. What does that tell you? But it's my understanding Akeel Lynch, Curtis Dukes, and Mike Hall all recommitting to Penn State. Now we're just, the one guy we're waiting on now is Justin Brown. The one guy we're waiting on now is Justin Brown. And we'll see. We'll see about Justin. Our number 1-800, and he met with Bill O'Brien yesterday, and everyone thought he'd have his he'd make up his mind last night. Did not. Found that interesting. You know, you're in a position now trying to read tea leaves. Not my area of expertise. Olympic basketball, Great Britain. I believe this is women's basketball. Just took the lead over France. 70-69. A lot of people made the drive in the channel to see that one. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. London Pete Solar Hotline. Beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keter Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The Paterno family is asking for appeals of sanctions. In a letter, the Paterno family lawyers request the NCAA hold an open hearing before its infractions appeals committee on the package of sanctions accepted by Penn State on July 23rd. The historic sanctions, the most severe handed down by the NCAA, include a record $60 million fine, 4-year postseason ban, significant scholarship losses, 5 years of probation, and the vacating of 111 wins by Joe from 98 to 2011. This matter may be the most important disciplinary action in the history of the NCAA and has been handed down in a fundamentally inappropriate and unprecedented manner, Wick Sollers, a Paterno family lawyer, said as he wrote in the letter sent Friday afternoon to the NCAA Infractions Appeals Committee. To severely punish a university and its community and to condemn a great educator, philanthropist, and coach without any public review or hearing is unfair on its face and a violation of NCAA guidelines. Sollers argues in the letter that the NCAA was wrong to suspend its usual infractions committee procedures and accept the findings of the Penn State Commission Free Report. A report by former FBI Director Louis Free found that Paterno, former Penn State President Dr. Graham Spanier, Athletic Director Tim Curley, and Vice President Gary Scholes concealed activities of Sandusky, who was convicted by a jury June 22nd of 45 counts of child abuse. So that's just to update you what they've done. And, of course, again, Director Free also said that he did not have the opportunity to interview Tim Curley or Gary Scholes or Joe. We go to Sealands Grove at 1-800-795-9565. Hi, Barry. Thank you for joining the show and for your patience.
Hey, just a question. Did any other advertisers pull out yet other than, I think, what, State Farm had pulled out?
To my knowledge, no. Burks pulled out last year when this happened, and they've been replaced by Dietz and Watson. And Dietz and Watson will be the pregame show sponsor, in fact, the title sponsor. Sherwin-Williams pulled out last year. They had not only been a radio network sponsor, but they had sponsored the media room. And, of course, you mentioned State Farm. So those are the two from last year, one from this year. That's what I know at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, yep. Our number 1-800-795-9565. To be frank with you, it doesn't really make sense for an advertiser to pull. And here's the reason why. If I'm advertising to tens of thousands of Penn State fans who are listening to the Penn State broadcast, who are Penn State fans who may buy my product, who are Penn State people, who are listening by in droves to the Penn State broadcast, wouldn't I want to continue to advertise in the Penn State broadcast?
Well, let me tell you another thing. These Penn State fans that are listening to this Penn State broadcast are going to be very loyal to Penn State and anyone else who's loyal to Penn State.
Sure. I mean, you know, I mean, you're in sales. I mean, you have to go around and sell WKOK's presentation of Penn State football locally. You're in good shape.
I have not had one person, and I don't know of anybody that's had one person or one business that said, you know, with this thing going on, I'm not so sure about it. It's actually been quite the opposite. It's been, yeah, because I know people are going to still support.
Yeah. Tiger Woods did not have a great day today.
Uh-oh. That's the lead on ESPN. Tiger Woods does not have a big day, and oh, yeah, the Olympics are going on.
Did not putt well. And he shot 72 today, which is two over par. Just didn't putt well. 33 putts on Thursday. Tacked on 29 today, but he hit just 10 of 18 greens. He three-putted the seventh. And struggled. He made just two birdies on the day.
It's not bad if you're an average golfer, but it's not going to get anything won on the tour.
I buy drinks at the clubhouse with that round.
You betcha. But it is not going to get you much on the tour.
Doesn't get you anything on the tour? No, you're dead. But when it comes to me, everybody in the clubhouse is benefiting from what I'm doing. Because I'm thinking to myself, I'm having the round of my life. But for these guys, no. Not how it works. And Jim Furyk had a great opening round yesterday at the Firestone Country Club. Furyk is at 11 under par for the tournament. He's 4 under today. Let's see. Louis Oosthuizen's at 8. Duffner's at 6. Tom's at 5. Donald at 5. Stricker at 4. Rory at 3. Dustin Johnson's at 3. Ogilvy's at 3. McDowell's at 3. Pedersen's at 3. Bradley's at 3. It's a limited field, too. Goosen is at 2. Garcia is at 2 and whining about it.
Well, that's the limited field is because they're playing golf at the Olympic. Oh, wait. They don't have that at the Olympics. I'm sorry.
No. Mickelson's at 1. Mickelson bounced back today. Mickelson's at 1. And Tiger shot 72, two over par. He's tied for 42nd.
Yeah, I said that jokingly, but you mentioned that a week or so ago about
the Olympics,
golf
the
being an Olympic sport. And that's not a bad idea.
Well, it was supposed to be in 96. In 1996, golf was supposed to be an Olympic sport.
Because they were going to play it at Augusta, was that?
They were going to play at Augusta National.
I remember that now.
And they felt they had to make a statement about Augusta's ability to lack of minority members, lack of female members, and so forth. They said, we can't do this. So they backed out. Now, if you're going to put golf back in, okay, how about Olympic golf at St. Andrews?
Not only you get tons of people watching it, you get, that would be a great attention thing.
Sure it would be. And let the pros play.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a worldwide sport.
Tiger Woods representing the United States.
See, and that's what I couldn't understand with the commissioner the other day on the Dan Patrick Show. Commissioner Goodell saying about football being played in all these countries, but yet the World League of American Football couldn't get enough people to support it, yet he wants to make it an Olympic sport.
Because he wants to market it worldwide.
Sure,
that's
he
why.
Does. Sure, I mean, he
why
does.
Why is the NBA have? Why did the NBA originally send players to the McDonald's Basketball Classic in the 80s, where the United States team was the NBA champion? Of course, that also meant Johnny Most, the legendary Celtics announcer, 37 years, and Bill O'Brien. The two of us were laughing about Johnny Most about a month and a half ago, and. You know, everything would do. Most was one of those, it's an actor's league. Ah, he's faking it, you know. You know, Havlicek stole the ball. Great call, right?
Oh, sure.
Well, he's doing the McDonald's Basketball Classic in 1986. The Celtics are the defending champions. So Bird, McHale, Parrish. And they're facing Croatia. And the ball goes to Bird, down to McHale. McHale up, and good. Celtics lead it now, 86-62.
That's really good.
Right. Then all of a sudden he says, here comes Serbia.
2 over to 12, back to 2 to 14. 22 in the near corner, back to 2. 2 up and good. You know, 2's a good shooter.
He wouldn't say a good shooter. He wouldn't say the names. He only did the numbers. I mean, it was priceless.
I've done that, but that's only because I never had the names to go with the numbers. 2's a good shooter.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Let me tell you a story, but Johnny Most, I know I'm sidetracking here for a second. Johnny Most, Gil Santos, I'm working with Gil at the time on the Penn State Network, and Gil does a Penn State game on a Saturday. I'm the third announcer at the time. And then Gil has to go to Philadelphia to do a Celtics-Sixers game on TV. Calls me up on Monday, says, he says, you wouldn't believe what I heard. I said, what? He says, I got to the hotel at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, Gil has that baritone voice. He says, Steve, he says, I got to the hotel. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, go to lay down. I'm hearing in the next room, Jack, Jack, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, he's that airport Marriott. You ever stay at that thing? The walls are so thin. Sometimes you can go to a show. And all of a sudden, 3 in the morning, Jack, 1, 2. 4 in the morning, Jack, 1, 2. Right? He's hearing this through the wall, 6 o'clock. So the next morning, he runs into Johnny Most. Gil's going to do the game on TV, Most on radio. He says, hey, John, had a rough night, huh? He says, I felt something going on. I stayed up and I tried to keep the juices flowing.
Oh.
And Johnny smoked like a fiend, right? And near the end of his life, you know, he was on oxygen. Well, he kept smoking. And one day a crack occurred in the oxygen line. Johnny blew himself up. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury has all your summer partying needs. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And did I mention they have beer? Brewers Outlet has a huge selection of imports and microbrews, some incredible deals, and they're a great beverage shoppable store. Fresh roasted peanuts daily, and check this out, a new Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the summer, and don't forget the beer.
Brewers Outlet, Beverage Supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury. They're our Friday sponsors. We head into the weekend. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. So, training camp starts Monday. It's the next chapter in all of this. Looking forward to it very, very much. By Monday, should have things, I think, pretty well settled. In fact, we may have things settled on the roster by tonight. I think there's only one more guy, and that's Justin Brown, to go. And then we'll find out whether he chooses Oklahoma or Penn State. And then move on from there. 4 weeks from tonight is football eve. 4 weeks from tomorrow is the opener. Mike in Winfield, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mike.
I was calling to see if you could maybe give us a capsule commentary on your partner Jack Ham's thoughts over the last 2 weeks and Penn State and NCAA and all those other neat things that have been happening.
What, do you think he's called me?
I would think you communicated in some form of social media.
Social media?
Oh, no, they call each other. There's no social media between those two.
There is no social media between the two of us. I would say that Jack and I, in the last month, have spoken to each other in the range of 20 to 30 times. How about that? And okay. probably have spoken to each other probably a dozen times in the last 2 weeks. All right? Including this morning. What does he think? Well, the NCAA isn't very high on his list. He went to the Letterman's deal on Tuesday night, and no details because they don't want any details out, but he said it was impressive, and Bill O'Brien was impressive. He wants to know who's left and who we're broadcasting, but what the NCAA did is something he absolutely does not agree with at all. And I don't think is too enamored with reports that were released. But that's, you know, that's just to capitalize how he feels about things. But what the NCAA did, he's not very happy at all about.
And that's what I would expect to hear. And I'm sure there's, like you said, he was at the Letterman's meeting and they don't want to disclose things because we're nowhere near the end of this whole saga, unfortunately. And there'll be changes, I'm sure, as time goes on.
Well, we're nowhere near the end of it because, as I pointed out, there's still two important trials to go that may fill in some of the holes that are in the free report. And we'll find out exactly how it goes from there, because even Director Free admits they could not talk to certain people. Again, I use his words. So we'll find out. But we're all moving forward, too. It's possible to keep a solid eye on that and move forward at the same time.
And you know, Coach O'Brien, I think, is more of a man than I gave him credit for when he was introduced back in January. The way he's handled this whole thing, you know, my hats are off to him in support, and look forward to what he can do with the program starting Monday morning.
How Penn State ever lucked out in getting this guy, I'll never know, but he has been the bright light in all of this.
You know, his personal background, his professional background, basically groomed him for this mess, and I think we've been very fortunate, and he's going to make a mark on his own history.
He will. He will make it. He'll be the first Bill O'Brien. He'll make a mark, and the job he does, I think he'll be forever revered by Penn State fans for how he's handled all this.
Absolutely.
And wait till you watch him coach. Wait till you watch him coach, Mike. I think you're going to like him even more. Wraps it up for the week, Kevin. I thought you were brilliant all week long.
I have my moments, just not many.
Well, that pretty much sums up the first 6 months.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Talk to everyone Monday.